athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I am back and glad to be back with you here on Box to Row. Let me set the table. Had a wonderful vacation. Let me set the table for you today here on Box to Row. We're going to talk some NBA free agency here on the program. I want to talk about Cooper Flagg's debut in the NBA Summer League for the Dallas Mavericks against the LA Lakers. I want to talk about that as well. College football media days begin. As a matter of fact, they've already begun when you look at the Big 12 media day, but certainly next week the SWAC has its media day in Birmingham on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to being there, and we're going to replay a conversation with Jay Johnson, who's the head baseball coach at LSU. And LSU, of course, won the College World Series. Look, I got to tell you, right, like just an unbelievable vacation last week with the family in Aruba, as a matter of fact. And if you have not been to Aruba, it is a beautiful place. So my wife and I first went to Aruba back in our honeymoon, as a matter of fact, some 23 years ago now. And we went on a cruise, I guess, maybe about 7 years ago or so. And, you know, docked. We said, okay, we're going to rent a car. We're going to drive a little bit. There's a lighthouse on the other side of the island from where all the downtown is, where all the cruise ships and all that, all the shopping. It's really, really kind of cool. So we decided to do that. Time we got back, everything downtown was closed. It was like 5 o'clock. Everything closes early downtown. So we didn't really get to maximize when we went to Aruba back about 7 years ago or so. But this time we said, okay, we're going to take a week vacation, or about a week vacation, in Aruba. If you've never been to Aruba, beautiful island. You have the capital city, but we stayed out in an area called Nord, which is probably about, I don't know, maybe a couple of miles or so from down, in essence, downtown of the capital city. And Nord is like, it's the new part. Like when we went 22 years ago, there was no there Nord. It's almost like it gives off a bit of a Miami Beach type of vibe. Like you've got plenty of hotels. You've got hotels that have casinos. You don't need to go downtown. Almost. You're like, you don't really need to go downtown unless you just like the high end shopping. Of course, they have all of the high end stores, and then some of the you know, the casinos that have been around for quite some time. I mean, it's nice downtown. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of history there. There's quite a bit of history, as a matter of fact. Government is downtown as well. But if you like nightlife, like you don't even need to go downtown. So we had this absolutely incredible time. We stayed in essence the part that is Miami Beach like. We stayed across basically from the beach, so we had a beach view. The water is absolutely incredible. We did a lot of eating and a lot of good eating, because when you go to different places, right, like you've got it's fine. Like we went to some of the touristy places, which is fine, right? Like you're going to get some good food regardless, right? But you want to go to the places, and this is not, and I'm just talking about Aruba right now, but anywhere you go, you want to go where the locals go to eat. So we went to a couple of spots where the locals eat, including a spot, I can't think of the name of the spot right now, but they serve what is called, or what are called Johnny cakes, right? And what a Johnny cake is, it's like fried bread, right? I don't want to say like a sandwich, because you can eat these things plain, but they also can put like ham inside of them. They can put like ham and eggs, ham and cheese, salt fish. They had a couple of various items that you could put inside of these things. And I'm here to tell you, Johnny cakes in Aruba are official, right? So, I mean, that was some really good eating. We went to a place called San Nicolas where they have a beach, right? Because we stayed on Eagle Beach. Like, Eagle Beach is one of the premier beaches in the world, right? But there was a beach called Baby Beach, which is in San Nicolas, and which is like on the other, almost like on the other, it's almost like on, like, in other words, Nord, where we were, is like the middle of the island. So we went, like, if you go to one side of the island, that's where the California Lighthouse is and some other tourist attractions. The other side of the island is San Nicolas. And so that's where we went, beach called Baby Beach. Absolutely. I mean, the water at Baby Beach was even bluer, if you can believe that, like that light blue kind of aqua color than it was at Eagle Beach. And so we had an absolute blast. Boy, it was hard to come back. I got to tell you, you know, I'm one of these people, right, that you get there. We got there on Sunday. We got there maybe around 1 o'clock on Sunday time. We got settled in and all of that. It was probably about 2:00, so it was great. Had that time to kind of really explore. We went walking around up and down the avenue on Nord, even got on the, had never been on, you know, we're here in Raleigh, right? And so all of these cities have the bikes where you can ride the electric bikes and the scooters and all of that. I had never done that. So we did that there, and it just was a lot of fun. So you get there, you do that. Time Wednesday comes around, right? Because, you know, our children, they didn't want to, you know, we wanted to kind of go to the California Lighthouse and some of the other places. My wife wanted to go to this butterfly farm, and it was great. So it was just her and I. And so time Wednesday came around, it's like middle of the week, middle of the vacation. And so it was great. But Thursday, it's like, okay, now you know the vacation is winding down, right? You've got Thursday, you've got Friday to try to maximize, and then we're out of there Saturday, a 2 o'clock flight. And, you know, you want to be to the airport a little bit earlier, a little bit early. So we got there, you know, maybe like 11:30 in the morning, something like that. So it's like, man, it just so hard to come back, but we're back. We're back here on Box to Row. Glad to be with you. And so, you know, we're going to get to a lot today here on the program, but it was just a great, great time and a great vacation. So I want to start here in terms of talking about Cooper Flagg and the game that he had on Thursday. And first of all, the buildup, a massive buildup. I think a lot of it, obviously a lot of it had to do with Cooper Flagg because it was his first summer league game. You want to see what he's about. He's, you know, the number one pick. His game from Duke to the NBA was going to translate, and to me, translate immediately. And I think you saw that in his first NBA game, albeit a summer league game, because I would characterize the summer league as college basketball is what it is. But I think when you're talking about the summer league, now you're playing against pros, because remember, even though a lot of the guys are in the same boat as like a Cooper Flagg, first time rookies, you've got guys that have been in the league. I mean, look at Dalton Connect, right, that played for the Lakers, made some contributions for the Lakers last year. He played in the Summer League as well. Bronny James played, may not have made a bunch of contributions to the Lakers, but all that he went through, that experience, he's in his second year. So he's, you know, a year removed from college. So the competition level, while it's not the elite of the elite in the NBA, these guys, a lot of them, quite frankly, especially the rookies, are hungry. A lot of the rookies, because some of them are trying to make teams. I look at a guy like an RJ Davis who played right up the road from us here at UNC for 5 years. He's on the Lakers roster. Like, a lot of these guys are going to be hungry. So the level of play, may not be NBA level of play regular season, it's more than college. So to me, you can gain a lot from what and take away a lot from what Cooper Flagg was able to do in this basketball game. Look, he was 5 of 21 from the field. If you want to look at the numbers and look at it that way, I mean, I think that's fair, because he did not have a great shooting performance. But to me, it wasn't about the shooting performance. It was about some of the other things that he was able to do. I thought he was tentative very early on. I saw a three-pointer he gets in that patented triple threat stance, which we don't see a lot. You don't see a lot of that in the NBA today, like a fundamental type of triple threat stance, which as a young guy myself coming up, learned you don't see a lot of that. But, you know, was hesitant to take a three-pointer or a couple of shots early on. And so there was a little bit of hesitancy there. You got to figure that there were some butterflies there. But he settled into the game. He got that massive dunk on the breakaway, which kind of opened things up. He had a nice turnaround jumper right against Bronny James, who, by the way, before that jumper, those two battled. James was checking him quite hard, and there was a foul, probably rightfully so. You didn't want to see it called because it was some tough defense. But the foul was, I think the foul that was called was warranted. But I just thought that the way he moved the ball, because remember, if you saw the game, the pressure came on him immediately. The Lakers put pressure on him immediately because we knew he was going to come into this game handling the basketball a little bit, and the Lakers threw pressure on him from the opening tip, and he handled it. So some of the other things he was able to do that I look out at just outside of the shooting, and look, I'm up against the break, so I want to come back and talk a little bit more about my thoughts on what I saw from Cooper Flagg's debut. And, of course, the Mavericks are going to be back in action on Saturday at 4. We got more Box to Roll. Keep it locked.
This is a mission, not a small time thing. Let me tell you about what happened when the phone went. Well, I was cooling at the crib with this girl Suzanne, and everything was going just according to plan when the phone rang. Yo, I couldn't believe it, told myself to ignore it, forget it, leave it. Just when things had started going great, it rang again. I said, hold up, wait. Picked up the phone, yeah, who the hell is this? Somebody said this is serious business. There's a tape in the mailbox between your doors. Take the tape from the box and put it in yours. I listened to the tape and my mouth just dropped. I picked up the phone, but the man hung up.
Get 3 months of satellite TV free just by calling. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Now you can get 3 free months of satellite TV when you make a free call right now. That's right, for a limited time, when you call the satellite TV hotline, we'll give you 3 free months of television watching based off your qualified order. You can stream and watch hundreds of channels and music from almost any device, television, tablet, even your smartphone. Stream thousands of your favorite movies, sports shows, and a lot more. Call right now and learn how you can get 3 free months of satellite TV. It's easy. Even the call is free. All you need to qualify is have a valid credit card. This is a limited-time offer, and terms and conditions do apply. So please call right now. Paid for by Dish TV.
800-380-4452. 800-380-4452. 800-380-4452. That's 800-380-4452.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
The one and only Da Vinci. Would have been nice if KD would have come to the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves don't mean KD's on his way out, chilling. He's playing pickleball now. Like he's chilling. but it's not, no, nothing against pickleball. I play pickleball, but I'm just saying KD did what KD was supposed to do for the game.
I don't know. But with Houston, like all that talent plus Fred Van Vliet, that's a good Houston team. With KD now, Da Vinci?
That's true, but I just don't think other teams are pressed about KD anymore.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some...
Still to come here on Box to Row, a conversation with LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson. Plus, maybe a bit of a preview, a look at... because SWAC Media Day is next week in Birmingham. Looking forward to being at SWAC Media Day. So maybe a little bit of a peek there. Although, really... when you go, because again, it's been since December with respect to HBCU football, and now with the whole transfer portal and all of that, it's like a reset. So it's really a good time to really sit down, talk with the coaches, see who they in fact have coming back from the previous season. And, you know, I want to see, can Jackson State in fact make a run again to its second straight SWAC championship? You know, Alabama State was right on the cusp, I thought, last year as well. You know, some changes in the SWAC. So, you know, just looking forward to being there and seeing exactly what's going on as we get you set for the HBCU football season. And just of note, as we mentioned, and I want to bring this back up again, because Box Row celebrating 20 years on the air, we will be doing it right here in Raleigh on Wednesday, August the 20th. So save the date. Mark your calendars. We're going to be at North Hills Main District, which is Midtown Raleigh. For those not familiar with Raleigh, for those that are familiar with Raleigh, it's that space right across from the movie theater, the Shaw University Platinum Platinum Sound Marching Band, going to be part of the festivities. It's just going to be a great time. Live national radio program, Box Row, we're going to go live. There will be presentations, and then there will be like a meet and greet with music, DJ, etc. I mean, it's going to be a great time, just celebrating 20 years on the air. And so we're looking forward to seeing you. So want to see you there. Also still to come here, going to talk some NBA free agency as well. So back to Cooper Flagg. And again, as I was talking about on the other side, 5 of 21 from the field. So those numbers weren't great. And look, I to be honest with you, and by the way, he played 32 minutes in this game, which I thought, I mean, if you think about a summer league game, your first game, I'm okay with it. Like maybe it was a little bit, I didn't think that he would play that many minutes, but he did end up, he played 32 minutes in the game. And I mean, that was great because if you think about it, this was one of the more hyped games in terms of summer league games. The debut of Cooper Flagg, you couple that, I think, also with Bronny James playing in this game and being able to show, you know, what he can do, because he played limited minutes in the previous games that he played in, right? But he even played 20 minutes in this game. So I think that the people in attendance got their money's worth, right? Like I saw where the average ticket price was maybe like $233. Courtside was like $1,000 for something like that. But again, this is for not even a preseason NBA game. This is a summer league game made up mostly of rookies and then also second year players as well. And so, first of all, the people got their money's worth. But again, back to Cooper Flagg, I really saw where he pushed the pace, right? Like, this is what they're saying. Like, you're not going to have, if you're the Mavericks, you're not going to have Kyrie Irving. So, you know, can Cooper Flagg come in and handle the ball? I'm not saying he's going to be the point guard, but, I mean, he's such a special player. He can play four positions, even five positions on the floor. He's going to play some D. He's got athleticism. He handles the ball well. He's fundamentally sound. Like, he's one of the better prospects that we've seen coming out of college that we've seen coming out of college. So he can do all of these things, right? And, you know, having a chance to see him play in person, had a chance to see him play for the first time when Duke played at Carolina the last game of the season, and that was in March. And then also the first round of the NCAA tournament right here in Raleigh. I believe Duke played Fairleigh Dickinson. And so had a chance to see him play in person. And again, he wasn't playing against regular, if you will, NBA players. We got it, right? But again, he's playing against guys that are hungry, trying to make a team, first-year players, and then guys that have some experience, a la a Dalton Connect, or even to some degree for the Lakers, and even to some degree a Bronny James, right? So you're playing against, I would say better competition than you're playing against in college. And again, 5 of 21 from the field, but I like the pace. I like he was able to push. No, the shots weren't going, but guess what? The shots are not going to go every night. And this is the other thing, and this is sort of my point. If you want to compare college basketball, and I never compare college basketball or any college to any pro level sports, but if you're trying to say, okay, what's the difference, right? Like, the main difference is nerves. I think the main difference is nerves. Like, these guys, it's a different level. You're a professional, not that you weren't a professional in the NIL way of life, but like it's a different kind of it's the ultimate professionalism, right? Because you're trying to make a team now. That's what you're trying to do. In college, you've got the scholarship, you've got the NIL money. You're not concerning yourself with making a team. I'm not saying there aren't nerves there, and particularly when you, as you continue to advance, you have a preseason, if you will, in college. When you're talking about non-conference games, then you get to the conference level, then you get to the conference tournament, and then you get to March Madness, or really to the NCAA tournament. So you've got like four seasons. They're going to be a level of nerves, but this is a different kind of level of nerves because you're trying to make a team. And I think that's where you have the biggest difference in terms of college. And then, of course, even if it's the NBA Summer League, again, made up of mostly rookies and second-year players. That said, he pushed pace. He distributed the basketball because I'm going to look at the numbers here a little bit for Cooper Flagg in terms of what he was able to do in the game. He had four assists, three steals in the game. He had six rebounds in the game as well. So he put together you know, from a stat perspective, a nice stat line. But look, he could have had more assists, right? Like, he would penetrate. It's a couple of times he penetrated, the defense collapsed, he kicked out to the open man. And this is what I'm saying, like, maybe college players more experienced would have knocked those shots down. Some of these guys, again, it's butterflies. So you've got the wide open. And by the way, the distance is different. You're shooting a three-pointer in the NBA from a further distance than you're shooting it in college basketball. These guys, some of these guys were missing wide open shots on a kickout from flag, right? So he was doing a lot of the right things. And by the way, let me look at the numbers one more time. He only turned the ball over one time. He played 32 minutes in this game. He only had one turnover in the game, right? So I'm not really concerning myself with the 5 of 21 from the field. He's going to knock shots down. You're going to miss shots. And there may be an adjustment period, a bit of an adjustment, because he was 0 of 5 from three-point range, but there's going to be that adjustment period from in terms of shooting three-pointers. Everybody can't be Steph Curry and come into the league, and I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but presumably come in and knocking down, or Trae Young coming in knocking down three-pointers from the NBA three-point line. It's why, you know, if you look at even some of the greats, if you look at Michael Jordan, right, he wasn't a great shooter, jump shooter per se, but as his career went on, he got better from three-point range. Same thing we're seeing with LeBron James taking more three-pointers and becoming better than he was early on. There's an adjustment period, especially if you're not a shooter. Now, Cooper Flagg is a good, I wouldn't call him a shooter per se. I think he's not a jump shooter, but he's a guy that's going to knock down shots and knock them down at a high percentage. So it's just a matter of time. It may take him a little bit of time in terms of him knocking down those three-pointers. But I want to focus on some of the other aspects. Again, when he and Bronny were going, if you saw the game, he and Bronny James going up, Bronny James guarding him. You know, Cooper Flagg's a bigger guy, but Bronny James is no small guy. A foul was called, rightfully so, the next time Cooper Flagg got the ball on the inbound. Immediately turnaround jump shot, left baseline from 15 feet. It goes in. Not concerned at all about Cooper Flagg's shooting. It will come around. Up next here on Box to Row, a conversation with LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson as the Tigers won the College World Series. Keep it locked.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Hey, Patrick, right here. This being your fifth Super Bowl, what do you remember most about this whole process with respect to the first Super Bowl? And when I say the whole process, I mean the preparation, not only for the game, but the media and all of that, as opposed to now. How do you kind of compare that? Is it still kind of fun for you?
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, every Super Bowl is its own experience. But I think more than anything, it's just preparing, because you know the process. You know what it takes throughout the week. And it gives you more experience and more calm, where you're not worried and you just continue to work to be the best version of yourself you can be and learn from your previous Super Bowls, and hopefully you can play even better in the game when you get out there on Sunday.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, you're old school. So you've instituted this deal where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room.
Well, you got a young group and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. What does goes on the inside of that clubhouse is our sanctuary. I really don't want to have a whole lot to say about that, because it's out there and it's out there improperly. I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Box to Row live on Radio Row. We're here at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got a very special guest, right? He was coming over here to talk to us, right? Everybody wanted a piece of him. And now we're able to talk with him. He is the one and only Drew Brees.
Just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying Media Row. Join the city.
Yeah.
You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. 15 years ago today, the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Man, that That was a pretty epic time. It was a pretty special time. You know, that was an incredible journey that 2009 season. Just the whole experience was unbelievable. It was surreal, and the city deserved it. The fan base deserved it. Not a dry eye in the house. It was unbelievable.
Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston.
Being raised in Pembroke and the Lumbee Nation was always a badge of honor. But getting the eagle feather is a sign of achievement and respect, and I think how you treat other people. Never forgetting where you came from. I grew up in a time when there was segregation. My dad taught and coached in an all-Indian conference. I mean, coming from that area, I learned a lot of life lessons, but getting the eagle feather is a tremendous honor. But you know right away, it's something you share with a lot of other people.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, and it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent, and often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light, and people want to feel like they want to be here, and so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying, so be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully, like, build this thing bigger.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the support of hip-hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
Kevin Hart joins us here.
Right now, I'm on cloud nine. This is the time where I'm in demand, so you make the best of it. You pick great projects, you get behind them, and you put them out. And the goal is to keep them coming. So that's making sure that you're in control of your destiny. And right now, I am.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. A couple of weeks ago, the LSU Tigers won the College World Series, and I had a chance to sit down with Jay Johnson, the head baseball coach of LSU. As a matter of fact, the second World Series or College World Series title for LSU in Jay Johnson's tenure. As a matter of fact, this is only his third year, just completed his third year. He's already got two College World Series championships, and had a chance to sit down with him, talk with him about a myriad of topics, including winning the College World Series.
Yeah, the games against Coastal, just the pitching for both teams really stood out. And that's why we were both there. You know, Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson on our side, Cam Flukie and Morrison on their side, Chase Shores coming out of the bullpen, the good left-handed relievers that they had, and playing in a pitcher's ballpark, it really made runs at a premium. And so being able to bust out that four-run inning there in the fourth of game two was ultimately the difference in the series. So that was awesome. And, you know, just as far as Omaha, my favorite place in the world, and just really proud of our team for how well we played in the College World Series and worthy champion. You know, we were, you know, the national champions, and I believe we were also the best team this year, you know, from wire to wire, and really proud of them for that.
Yeah, you talk about the pitching because you had been scoring some runs. And, of course, as you go on in, you know, the College World Series runs become more at a premium. Maybe you play a little bit more small ball. But speak to the pitching, in particular that 1-0 game that you got against Coastal Carolina.
Cade Anderson, I mean, he was the pilot. You know, he checked the plane. He pushed it back from the gate. You know, he dominated the takeoff, the ascent, the cruising, the bumps along the way, the descent, and the landing. Special performance. And I said after the game, you know, the way Paul Skeens has talked about around here, the way Joe Burrow's talked about around here, Cade Anderson needs to be talked about like that, because that's the type of season he put up. And 4-0 in the postseason. And that's where you make your hay. And 12 wins in a year is really remarkable, and very proud of him for the season that he had.
Let me take you back a little bit, because the last loss that you had, as a matter of fact, was to Little Rock after having beat Little Rock. Then you turn around, well, you lose, but then turn around, come right back and beat Little Rock. I mean, I'm not going to say handily. I mean, the score's 10-6, but I mean, you know, you put up the 10 runs, you win 4. Nothing's handily, you know, once you get to the regional round and so forth. You know, speak to coming back from that loss against Little Rock, winning the next game against Little Rock, and then now 8 straight wins.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was honestly one of the more intense days of my entire career. We weren't playing till 8 p.m. And I'll tell you why. It's like, this was an exceptional team. Obviously, I felt like we'd done everything right. And our season ending in the regionals, that just didn't seem right. I really believed this team deserved to end its season in Omaha based on the talent, the work ethic, the character, how they played the schedule. But, you know, those guys, the Little Rock Trojans, man, they came in here and they played well. And they pushed us and got big hits and made big-time plays on defense and had some pitchers pitch above their capability. And it really tested us. And I told the team that night when we won the game that was one of the best wins of my entire career. And I meant it, because I knew the significance of it. And from that point on, it was almost like we got a second wind of life breathed into our team. And Super Regional, we played a great West Virginia team, Big 12 champions, and really dominated the series, and then played outstanding in Omaha. And very, very thankful for their response to the difficulty in the schedule and how they handled it.
Jay Johnson, in his fourth season as the head baseball coach at LSU, joins us here on the program. LSU, the Tigers, national champions for the second time in Coach Johnson's tenure. I read where, so last year, the 2024 season, you only had 12 players returning to this year's team. So can you speak to, I mean, that's only 12 players. Can you speak to that and having to rebuild this team?
Yeah, it's the first thing about that 12, it doesn't sound like a big number, but they were the right 12, both in talent, both in character, all of the above. And it was a great foundation when you're talking about Steven Milam and Jared Jones and Cade Anderson. Great start, Chase Shores. Well, Chase actually didn't play last year because of the Tommy John surgery. Jake Brown, you know, Josh Pearson, which is a great starting point. And they used their experience from last year well. And then in the transfer portal, not only did we hit on good players, we hit on the right players. You know, I mean, I just almost get emotional when I talk about Luis Hernandez, Chris Stanfield, Zach Cowan, Danny Dickinson, Anthony Ianson. And those guys, you know, mean so much to me personally. And we had all of them for only 1 year, might have one or two of them back for next year, but they were amazing. And then, you know, the best freshman class in college baseball, you know, Derek Curiel, Cason Evans, William Schmidt, Cade Arambidi, Maverick Rizzi, Cooper Williams, John Pearson. Like, we had to take all that collection of talent and make it a team. And it's one of the tightest knit teams I've ever seen. It was very authentic and was a big difference in us being able to constantly get over the hump in all the close games that we played.
You know, I was in college athletics administration years ago. I don't know all of the various rules now, right? But I mean, in reading, I don't know if you can talk about it, but you've got guys coming in now for next year. I mean, are you able to talk about that, or, you know, how can you?
Well, what I'll say is you got to get right back to work.
Okay.
You know, I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping to get on a plane on Sunday morning to go out and recruit, but okay. Kind of what I'm looking forward to is sitting on a plane you know, in the back row by myself, put my headphones in and watch a bunch of highlights of the College World Series, because I don't want to just blow past what we just accomplished. But okay. The nature of the calendar in our game is if you don't do a good job in these 40, 45 days, you're not going to have any opportunity to do something like that again next year. And so we're working hard, you know, we've secured a few good players, and hope they add an ability and chemistry to a great foundation that we have here. You know, I mentioned that freshman class, and, you know, obviously you're talking about Stephen Milam, Jake Brown, Derek Curiel, you know, Kaysen Evans, William Schmidt, Maverick Rizzi, Cooper Williams. I mean, I'm really excited about that group. Kate Aaron Beatty, really excited to add to that group again and try to keep this train on the tracks.
Jay Johnson, the head baseball coach at LSU, joining us here for a couple of more moments here on the program. Coach Johnson, how does this, I'm sure this has been asked many times, but I'm going to ask it again. How does this championship in the season, for that matter, compare to the 2023 championship and that season?
You know, I've been asked that a lot. It's kind of been fun to answer it. Both equally special. A little bit different emotions when the game ended, because in 23 we were ahead 18-4. So it's like, we're closing this out, we're winning. I mean, this one, the tying run was at the plate, and I got two guys up in the bullpen. And so there, until the last out was made, my entire thoughts were about execution in the game. And which is kind of fun, because that's kind of our mantra anyways, is preparation and execution. But then when we turned that double play, next thing I know, my coaches were hugging me and choking me. So how they ended were completely different. Both amazing. I just am really proud of both of them. You know, when I accepted this job, I did it. It was LSU, but I largely took it because I felt like in our second year, if we added the right pieces, if I helped the players that were here develop to their full capability, we would have a chance to win the national championship in 23. Like, that entered my mind. Then this year, I'm just so proud of how we did the season from start to finish. Like, this is a model team in terms of how it went about their business. And both very deserving champions, and I love all of them. And I think that there's so many quality players that have been in our program since I've been here. When you win a national championship, it kind of bonds you forever, you know, with reunions and those types of things. And with both groups being so special, that's what I'm thankful for, is that we'll always be bonded together, you know, as we move forward here.
You know, you talk about LSU baseball, one of the best in the country. You've helped to continue to further that. But it's not like LSU baseball needs any more publicity. But boy, Paul Skeens like took Major League Baseball by storm last year, doing well this year with the Pirates. Just your thoughts on how he's played and then being able to coach him there at LSU.
Yeah, he's a special guy. I mean, all the talent in the world, but the character, the work ethic, the self-discipline, the attention to detail, the desire to master his craft. He's on a different planet than everybody else when it comes to that. And, you know, it's been awesome to watch. I'm hopeful to maybe sneak out to the All-Star game this year to just watch him throw his inning, you know, and celebrate that with him, because we've been so busy with the season. Kind of my way of supporting him, for he came to Omaha for the one day he had off and watched us play UCLA, and was very, very awesome to see him there, and really proud of Paul.
Last two thoughts. What was Wednesday celebration like?
Special. You know, like I said, it's just the nature of it. You know, you're already behind in recruiting, whatever you want to call it, planning for next year when you play as late as we did. And it was a good couple hours to just stop all of that and focus on what this team accomplished, because it should be celebrated. It should be well thought of. It should be brought front and center. And so to do that with our players and their families, you know, kind of, I won't say one last time, because we'll have our ring ceremony in the fall, but pretty awesome. Pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then again, last thought, what most comes to your mind? Again, a couple of World Series or College World Series championships at a storied program, but now you've had a really nice career that a lot of it has included being an assistant coach and doing well there. So what most comes to your mind when you think about your career?
Wow. I would want everybody that played for us to say, whether that was as an associate head coach at the University of San Diego or head coach at Point Loma, Nevada, Arizona, LSU, that coach brought it every single day. And, you know, I have this weird dynamic in my head of like, I tell myself we're going to lose every game that we're going to play unless I do the best job I possibly can. And it's been kind of a good formula. And, you know, the other thing is the players. Like, you win in college baseball and college athletics because the players and the athletes, not the coach. And I think I've always done a good job, you know, making sure that they're at the forefront of what's happening and what we're doing. And that's what we'll continue to do at LSU.
LSU, again, completes the season 53-15. College World Series champions, as a matter of fact, for the second time in the tenure of Jay Johnson in his fourth season as the head baseball coach at LSU, joining us right here on the program. Coach Johnson, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Tigers.
Thank you. Maybe we can do this again in the fall.
LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson. We'll be back.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
Imagine booking a hotel reservation anywhere in the world and getting free airline tickets. Yes, when you call our special toll-free travel hotline right now and make a hotel reservation, we'll give you an airline credit. And that credit could equal a free round-trip ticket. We have hotels all over the world. So whether you want to go on a business trip to New York, a family vacation to Vegas, or relax in Acapulco, simply book your hotel reservations with us and we'll give you a credit that could be worth free airline tickets. You can book your hotel reservations right now over the phone, get your credit, and call us back when you're ready to book your flights. It's that simple. Get your trip squared away right now. Make your hotel reservations and get your free airline tickets. Here's the number.
800-423-6201. 800-423-6201. That's 800-423-6201.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader. It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Let's talk a little NBA free agency here on Box to Row. And, you know, I've been hearing this term, especially when you're talking about the Eastern Conference, in terms of the Eastern Conference is now wide open because Tyrese Halliburton's going to be out the entire season, presumably. I mean, you don't come back from an ACL. It takes a while to come back from an ACL, so he'll be out the entire 25-26 season. You look at the Bucks with no Damian Lillard. I'm not sure if the Bucks were a real contender anyway. So there's this narrative out there that the Eastern Conference is wide open. Excuse me, I apologize. The Celtics with Jason Tatum. That's really the other person I was thinking about. Jason Tatum going to be out probably the entire season as well. And then with the moves that the Celtics have made for the upcoming year, basically what the Celtics have done with the moves that they've made, trading Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford no longer with the team, basically is to say, okay, they're shedding a lot of salary. This year's going to be a wash, no Jason Tatum. And then you'll have Jason Tatum back for the 26-27 season and then try to make a run during that time, which I think the Celtics will definitely be a little bit more formidable. But is it, in fact, in the Eastern Conference wide open? To me, and look, I'm and by the way, I mean, if you look at what the Pacers did in not re-signing Miles Turner. I mean, that, you know, some may look at that as not that, you know, big a deal, because Turner wasn't like they needed more from him. But look, he had been with the franchise for 10 years, provided some great moments, still shot at a high clip. But again, now you're talking about a nucleus piece missing from that team. So, you know, I definitely can understand that. But to me, it's the Knicks, right? Like, you know, the Cavaliers had the best record in the Eastern Conference last year, but that was all. Back-to-back seasons with the Cavaliers exiting in the second round. You know, I get it. A lot of people will say, well, the Cavaliers faced the Pacers and nobody really gave the Pacers a chance to win that series, even though the Pacers had been playing well since pretty much January. Still, you figured that the Cavaliers were going to win that series. They had a talented roster. They're starting five, as good a starting five as you have in the league, and you lost in the second round, back-to-back seasons, I might add. To me, I need to see a little bit more from the Cavaliers. Like, I can't go into this season thinking, okay, the Cavaliers, I mean, certainly they're going to be contenders. But look, if I'm looking at this, and by the way, Miles Turner is in Milwaukee, and we'll still see what happens with Giannis. And I think he's going to stay in Milwaukee. But there's, to this point anyway, excuse me, the Bucks just haven't done enough that would warrant me thinking that the Bucks would be in contention, much like what the Bucks were able to do when the Bucks won the championship, including getting Drew Holiday, which was big back in 2021. But it's the Knicks. Like, the Knicks have, and look, the Mike Brown signing, or hiring, I should say, was a bit of a surprise, but then I guess, then again, it's the Knicks, so maybe not, right? You know, and just to kind of talk about that, like, nothing against Mike Brown, but basically Mike Brown has been fired everywhere he's been, right? Fired the first time around with the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Because, you know, LeBron James didn't like him, so he was fired. Fired by the Lakers. Fired by the Cavaliers the second time, mostly because LeBron was coming back to the Cavaliers, so you knew that wasn't going to work out. Fired by the Sacramento Kings. And that's not to say he's not a good coach, and maybe, you know, fourth, fifth time could be the charm for Mike Brown. But I think when you make a move in terms of getting rid of Tubbs and then you go to Mike Brown, you better be right. And the only thing that would make the 25-26 season successful for the Knicks would be at least making it to the NBA Finals. But when I look at that roster, I look at Mike Brown coming in. He's going to preach some defense. I mean, the addition, you know, of the Knicks and the Knicks problem, I mean, you bring Jordan Clarkson and okay, that's fine. But I mean, your problem wasn't offense, and Jordan Clarkson doesn't play defense. So like that, okay, maybe you're just going to try to outscore everybody, which is fine. You know, again, when I look at the East, I mean, it's not wide open. The Pacers, respect to the Pacers, are always going to, I'm always going to give respect and some type of deference to a conference champion. But when you don't have Halliburton, you got rid of Turner. Like, I can't do that this year, right? So to me, it's the Knicks in terms of in the East. To me, it is not wide open. Conversation obviously turns and becomes a lot different when you're talking about the Western Division. And in talking about free agency, a lot of that has to do with some of the moves that were made, in particular, the moves that the Houston Rockets made. Not only Okay, and they didn't give up a lot for Kevin Durant. Okay, they didn't give up a lot. Yeah, you gave up the Rockets. You gave up a young player in Jalen Green who maybe down the line the Rockets may kick themselves, I think, because it wasn't that Jalen Green. It's just in the playoffs, and it wasn't enough. Like, they really needed – the Rockets really needed Jalen Green to be good in the playoffs. He wasn't. It was his first time around in the playoffs. So I think he's going to get better. But if you can add a guy like a Kevin Durant, only give up a Jalen Green and a Dylan Brooks. And, yes, they did give up the number 10 pick. So they did salvage the future a little bit to try to win now. But not only did the Rockets get Kevin Durant, you also add Dorian Finney-Smith to the mix with all of the other talent that you still had. Steven Adams re-ups. Like, boy, they're not – now, the Rockets aren't the – look, OKC is the team to beat, right? Defending champs. You've got your big three nucleus signed, right? Like, they just gave Jalen Williams, extended him on the rookie contract. I think, what did I see? 5 years, $287 million. Wow. You know what I mean? So basically, you're talking about $800 million in terms of contracts between three players, which is okay because the nucleus of your team is now going to be together if you're OKC for through the 2030-2031 season. So that's really, really good. You know, a lot of guys aren't going to be there, and OKC not going to have to pay the luxury tax this year, but will in 26-27. But right now, OKC's that team to beat. But if I'm looking at the Rockets and I've added a Dorian Finney-Smith, and I've got Kevin Durant, and I've already got Amen Thompson, and all of these guys, I've got Fred VanVleet who re-upped as well. Wow, that's a serious challenge on paper. Now, we'll have to see how it plays out. Kevin Durant, I think, 38? Time the season really gets going, so he's older. But he's still Kevin Durant. And he's not in a role where he has to be the guy that's relied upon. It's more like going back to his days with Golden State. I think the emphasis is going to be a little bit more on KD because he's more of a veteran player. Where that Golden State team, I mean, you had Steph, you had Clay. Like, it was just a bomb squad. Even though Kevin Durant was the leader of that squad, two NBA Finals MVPs, I would remind you. But really, you know, you've got the Rockets, right? Like, and beyond that, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure the Nuggets. I wasn't sold on the Nuggets last year, right? You get they let Michael Porter Jr. go. Okay, that's fine. You add a couple of other pieces. Including Cam Johnson, which I think is a nice add as well. Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway Jr., who's a streaky shooter, but when he's on, can knock down some three-pointers for you, right? I'm never going to discount Anthony Edwards because I don't think that Minnesota should have been in the Western Conference Finals this year, but where were the Minnesota Timberwolves? They were in the Western Conference Finals. Then I'm not also going to sleep on the Mavericks with Cooper Flagg. We'll see what happens. Will Kyrie be able to play again this year? What kind of, you know, impact will he have if he is able to play? But I'm not necessarily looking at Dallas to challenge necessarily the OKC or the Rockets. And then the other team is the Spurs. Like, the Spurs, I think, are going to be, like, I don't know if they're ready to take the next step. Maybe, you know, we may see. I mean, look, the Spurs could be a top three team in the Western Conference this year. You know, so I'm definitely not sleeping on the Spurs, but look, it's OKC, but you've got some teams, most notably, that can challenge in the Houston Rockets. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Again, a reminder, save the date. Wednesday, August the 20th, Box to Row will celebrate 20 years on the air right here in Raleigh. For more information on that, we're going to have a great time. As a matter of fact, I want you to come on out. You can visit our website, BoxToRow.com. Also, don't forget about the Box to Row YouTube channel. Phenomenal, phenomenal conversations. As a matter of fact, we're kicking back up our countdown to 20. We're 40 days out now from the 20-year celebration. So going to relive some of our most memorable conversations. Again, check that out on the Box to Row YouTube channel. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.